BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history. But fortunately for us, God wrote it down, all in His prophecies, what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective. For without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Welcome to The Remnant's Call, the Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, religion, the straight truth come through to you that we're bringing this prophetic message to. Tonight's Sledgehammer Show is number 442. It is entitled, I Have to Warn You. It is a job of a Jew, especially of a Messianic Jew, to bring forth the truth and warn people of what is coming. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people, following the Word of God from Genesis through to the Book of Revelation. You can come out any Saturday, that's Shabbat at 11 a.m. for worship, the news, and the Word of God from a proper biblical perspective. That means, what does a proper biblical perspective means? It means believing in Messiah and following the Father's commandments. Yes, we say that you have to, the only way for people to get into heaven is to keep the commandments. You can't just believe in Yeshua because Satan believes in Yeshua. And Yeshua is the Messiah's real Hebrew name, so start using it. If you'd like to let us know whether you love or hate what I just said, or love or hate the Sledgehammer Show, write to info@thesledgehammershow.com. That's info@thesledgehammershow.com. We put our show on many different platforms. We don't put the Sledgehammer Show on YouTube because they don't like us. They don't like hearing the truth. We do put it on Rumble. You can always find us on our own platform, yeshuatube.org. When we're streaming to yeshuatube.org. So sign up for our, subscribe to our Rumble page, rumble.com/BGMCTV. Okay, on YouTube, youtube.com/BGMCTV. We're on Vimeo, Brighteon, YouTube. So subscribe to all of our pages there. And if you'd like to help support the ministry, send a check or money order to Beth Goyim, 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's Beth Goyim, 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. You could send $5, 50 cents, and $5 million. If you got $5 million, send some of it. Okay? Send us $50,000, $500,000, whatever you got, any spare change. Okay? I'm joined on the show tonight by our good friend, none other than the man himself, Ben Jimenez III. Okay, so as we always start our show off with, we start our show off with Scripture. It's vitally important because you can't expect anything good to happen unless you're following Scripture. Okay? You can't say that the evil people are being bad when you're not following Scripture either. Okay? But they're being real bad. They're doing it. That doesn't work with God. Okay? You're either on His team or not on this team. There's no two ways about it. Okay? There's following Scripture, which means following Messiah. If you're a Christian, following Messiah. Christian means Christ-like. You're supposed to be following the law just like Yeshua, our Messiah, did. So, our job here at the Sledgehammer Show, and as believers in Messiah and believers in the Torah, we have Ezekiel 33, verse 7 through 9. Likewise, you, human being, I have appointed you as watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, when you hear the word from my mouth, warn them for me. When they tell the wicked person, you will certainly die. And you fail to speak and warn the wicked person to leave his way, then that wicked person will die guilty. And I will hold you responsible for his death. On the other hand, if you warn the wicked person to turn from his way, and he doesn't turn from his way, then he will still die guilty, but you will have saved your life. Okay, so our job is to speak to the wicked person, okay, and tell them that they're going to die guilty, okay? And Jehovah, the Father, that's his name. It's not Yahuwah, Yahuwah. It's not Yahweh. It's Jehovah. Yud, He, Vav, He. Very simple. It's not very hard. So he said, the Eternal One, the Father, said, our job is to warn the wicked person that they're going to die. Okay? And to tell them that they're in sin, and that they have to do something to stop being in that sin. So our job here on the Sledgehammer Show, and as believers, if you're a believer in Messiah, your job is to do this. So let me bring on my good friend Ben. And Ben, do you feel this is your job? I mean, you work out amongst the people, okay? What do you feel? Do you feel that this is our job, that we have to warn people even if they're not wanting to listen to us?
Well, I think this is more than just our job. I believe it's our duty, not only as, you know, believers in Messiah, but as members of a community that was created by the Father, community of human beings. You know, we can go back to Genesis when Cain killed Abel, and he answered God, "What am I? My brother's keeper?" In actuality, yes, we are our brother's keeper. Now, I understand that, you know, my brothers and my sisters are those that do the will of my Father, but we also have to remember that John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And it also goes on to say that God does not wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But how can all come to repentance if we don't carry out the message, if we don't carry out the warning and try to stop our brothers from driving, stop the next person from driving down a dark road at 100 miles an hour when there's no bridge to cross that road? You know, we're just letting them drive to his death. And, you know, like Hashem said, if I tell you to warn the wicked one and you don't warn him and he dies, his blood is going to be on your head, you know, because we as believers in Messiah and in the Father and in the Ruach, we have to let the next person know that there's imminent danger ahead. And it's up to them to whether to heed the warning or not. But once we tell them what's going on and what lies ahead, you know, we can actually wash our hands clean because we already gave them the message. And that's, I believe that that's what Hashem is telling us in this scripture, is let them know that they're headed for imminent danger. And if they decide to turn back, they'll save their lives and you will have saved your life, you know, because you let them know what lies ahead.
Yeah, that's very true. Our job is to let them know what lies ahead. It's very important, that aspect of what we're doing, is to let people know what is going on and what is not going on, okay? And this is, you know, vitally important, and this is why we do the show, okay? So we're going to warn some people, okay? The hope is that we as a nation would turn from our wicked ways, okay? Really turn from our wicked ways. So we're one of the subjects that we're going to be talking about in this show is how abhorrent the judges in the court, not just in America. We're going to talk about three places in the world where we're going to see stories that the judges are not judging properly. And we're going to warn the judges, because if we turn this nation around and if we were to start following Torah, then we would be able to do what the scriptures say to those that are not following God's word. So in Devarim, in Deuteronomy 16, verse 19-20, this is talking about the judges. You are not to distort justice or show favoritism, and you are not to accept a bribe, for the gift blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of even the upright. Justice, only justice, you must pursue, so that you will live and inherit the land Jehovah your Elohim is giving you. Okay, so what we're looking at there is something very important, that justice, these judges that are in our court system, are not seeking justice only. They are not judging on the merits of the case. They are not judging with truth, okay? They are judging by the bribes that they're getting, or maybe not even the bribes, the threats that they are getting. But if they turn back to God, then they would be safe, okay? So, you know, let's look at that again. You are not to distort justice or show favoritism. Okay, so we're talking about the judges there, and they're, you know, when they are showing favoritism, when they are distorting justice, the Torah, and we'll get to that in a little while, tells us what we should do to these people. And, you know, it's our job to warn, okay? Now, we can't follow through right now with what the Torah says to do to these who are distorting justice, okay? Accepting bribes. Okay, all these judges that are distorting justice and taking bribes, okay, only if we are following the Torah can we do what the Torah says. But either way, the God of all creation is going to have his way with you, okay? Okay, Leviticus 19, verse 15 says, "Do not be unjust in judging, show neither partiality to the poor, nor difference to the mighty, but with justice, judge your neighbor." Okay, and in Exodus 23, verse 7-8, "Keep away from fraud. Do not cause the death of the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. You are not to receive a bribe, for the bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of righteousness, of righteous." Okay, so if you're accepting bribes, if you're not judging on the laws of God, okay, then the judge, by accepting that bribe, you know, by ruling improperly because they're either being threatened or afraid, or they accepted money, or they don't follow the law. Okay, so by them not following the law, they're defrauding the person, and they're causing the death of the innocent and righteous. So when we find out, and if we go as a nation go back to following God, then you, the judge, will be stoned to death. The judge, you know, because that's the law. It says it there. You know, let me bring it up there so you see it. Keep away from fraud, and do not cause the death of the innocent. So in the Torah it says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Okay, so we need to look at this, Ben, and you know, these judges that are, you know, I'm going to bring up three stories from three different nations. They're judging poorly. What do you think of, you know, these judges? It's like they're out of hand. They're incredibly out of hand. What do you think about them being out of hand?
I think they've all lost their footing in justice and in judgment. I think that no longer, you know, that they rule with integrity. The majority of them have been corrupted, are corrupt, and don't really care about anybody's opinion but their own. I honestly think that this is a result, you know, and I know we've spoken about this many times, and I believe we've mentioned it just about every time on the show, that all this is a result of turning away from God, turning away from His word. You know, David wrote in one of the Psalms, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, His word will direct our way. You know, when we're lost in the darkness, it'll shine that light and show us which way to go. You know, there's only one way to go in righteousness, and that's straight ahead on the straight and narrow, you know, without turning to the right or to the left. But everybody, you know, at this point in time, I believe that they've forgotten the oath to uphold the Constitution and to uphold God's word. You know, we've forgotten it. We've lost track because, you know, we're too busy with the Kim Kardashians of the world and the Bruce Jenners of the world. And I'm not changing his name. His birth certificate says Bruce Jenner. We've lost sense of the true reality. You know, we've lost sense of the truth, and integrity is like common sense. It's a superpower, it's a rarity. You know, it God bless you if you can find it anymore, because everybody is out for their own. And these judges nowadays, you know, I believe that they're making judgments on, you know, how well their pockets are lined. You know, we can see it when, you know, you have a murderer who's a drug addict and you don't convict him, but yet, you know, he winds up, you know, dying accidentally. Wait a minute. He overdosed. But yet you retaliate his death because, you know, you think he's innocent. You know, Yeshayahu said it. In the last days, good will be called evil and evil will be called good. The things that you do, the cheating on your wife, you know, the beating on your wife, the abandoning your children, People praise that nowadays. Before, people looked at you with shame, and rightly so, because the shame that you were looked upon on kind of equaled but wasn't the same as getting stoned. You were just shunned out of the community at one point. Nowadays, you're welcomed into the community if you do all that. And it's a shame. And it's all a result of us turning our backs on God, raising our fists at God, and blaming Him for everything that's going on.
Yeah, we need to really get back to the truth. And that's why we do the Sledgehammer Show, is because we want to bring truth. And we're going to bring another truth here. Another truth. What we're going to do here is, let me bring up this scripture. And remember to subscribe to our pages. Divrei Deuteronomy 24:7 says, if a man kidnaps any of his brothers, fellow members of the community of Israel, and makes him his slave or sells him, that kidnapper must die. In this way, you will put an end to such wickedness among you. Okay, so if these judges are committing fraud, okay, and putting these people in jail, like they've put, you know, people in jail for demonstrating, you know, demonstrating our First Amendment right to, you know, demonstrate against the government. You know, that's what we, you know, when we became a nation, we demonstrated at first, you know, against the Brits. Okay, so when there was a million people in, you know, Washington on January 6th, okay, that they were doing, you know, they were peacefully doing it. Were some out of hand? A little bit, but, you know, check out all the cities, you know, like Seattle and, you know, all those cities that were on fire. Okay, so the judge who has ruled inappropriately, this judge who has ruled inappropriately, is part of the kidnapping team. You know, Joe Biggs, you know, from, you know, he wasn't even in Washington that day. And there was many witnesses, and that's what Torah requires. Torah requires that you have witnesses. And he was not even in Washington, D.C. on that day, and it's proven. But yet he's spending time in jail for a crime that he didn't commit. And the trial, you know, there's lots of evidence, okay? So you are part, the judge is part of the kidnapping team, okay? So if we ever go back to Torah, then this rule will apply. That judge, we will have to stone him to death, or her to death. I'm pretty sure it's all women, men judges, okay? And because you're kidnapping somebody, you're committing fraud, okay? Let me bring that up there again so you can see the Word of God, because this is the Word of God, and I stand with the Word of God. I'm going to follow the Word of God, okay? So we keep away from fraud, okay? Judges are supposed to keep away from fraud, okay? Because if you defraud somebody like they did to Joe Biggs, and these other stories that we're going to bring up, you're causing the death of the innocent and the righteous. So Jehovah says, I will hold you accountable. Okay, he's going to hold you accountable. All right, and remember, our job here is to be the watchman, to warn people. I'm warning these wicked judges that your time is coming. Okay, your time is coming. And when we go to war, and there's war coming, you're pushing it. What you should really realize is that these people are paying you. What you need to do is study Nazi Germany, how those judges were, you know, part of the machine. They were playing with the Nazis. And then when the Nazis took over and they got in power, they got rid of the judges. Okay? So they're, now we're going to look at some of these cases that are very important. Okay? There's this young man, he's a nice young man. His name is Owen Jonathan Owen Schroyer, he works for InfoWars, okay? And on January 6th, he was there. And when people were going towards the White House and towards the Senate and, you know, those buildings, you know, he was instrumental in trying to stop them. And all this is on, it's recorded, okay? The tapes are there, The recordings are there, okay? I'm old. Tapes, okay? I had an 8-track player, okay? All right, so he had a trial, or he had worked a deal out. Him and his lawyer worked out a deal with the prosecutor, and, you know, do community service or something like that. But the abhorrent behavior of these prosecutors and these judges, you know, goes back to what we were talking about, fraud. So they had made a deal, but these people broke the deal. And now they're in an appeals process. He might have to go to jail for using his First Amendment rights just by speaking against these abhorrent judges. Now remember, those of us who follow Torah and believe in Messiah, you come, we're going to invoke those rules that we follow. I'm not speaking for anybody else. I'm speaking for me. I am a Jewish man whose family, a large portion of my family, was lost in the Holocaust. They were in three of the camps. Okay? Some of us got away. I believe in Messiah. Messiah has come. I believe in Torah. So when this fight happens, we will invoke God's laws. Okay? So what happened to this young man, Owen Schroyer, was they had worked out a deal and the government lied. You can see the recordings of him saying, "Don't go in there. Stop." You know, you can see the recordings of him talking with the police and saying who he was, and he was recognized, and, you know, the police telling him, okay, tell the people to stop, or, you know, all those different things. So we have a government, specifically a judge, because the prosecutor has no authority over the judge. The prosecutor has no authority over the judge. The judge, you know, is supposed to be following the rules, not taking a bribe. Okay, so what Schroyer was doing was exerting his First Amendment rights. So Ben, you know, isn't this something amazing that the right for the freedom of speech was one of the main things that the colonists wanted, because it was, you know, they couldn't speak against the king. Okay, now we have these abhorrent people in our government. What do you think about these judges, you know, in Schroyer's case here? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's what amazes me is this: how the fundamental rights that are given to us by God are actually being trampled upon and prohibited by man, which is the right to be free, the right to free speech, and the right to bear arms. You know, the Second Amendment was made to protect the First Amendment, you know, and we see that they are attacking us via the Second Amendment, because they know that once we don't have the guns, because it's a proven fact, if you look at history, all the dictators took away the villagers' weapons and their armament, because if they were to allowed to keep them, they would not have been overtaken, you know. Granted, many would have died, just like in the Civil War, you know, just like in the Revolutionary War, but a message would have been sent across, and a very strong message at that. This is why, if you study history, you can see that when Hitler took over, the first thing that he promised to everybody was protection, took their guns, and then promised everybody jobs. Everybody got on the box cars, and everybody got shipped into different concentration camps. Today, these concentration camps are called smart cities, 15-minute cities. They're called quarantine camps, you know. And there's probably, if I'm not mistaken, the last time I had checked, I think it was 32 FEMA quarantine camps in the U.S., and they're all in the middle of nowhere. You can't see them from any highway. They're deep in the fields. We see a lot of military movement. We see a lot of you know, right now, I wouldn't call it totalitarianism, but we see a lot of Marxism rising up and a lot of socialism taking place in our country. And this, what they did to Schroyer, is an act of communism. It's an act of deception, because they have to blame and act on somebody to take their eyes, the eyes of the people, off of them. And it's a smoke and mirrors trick, just like any magic trick. You know, the hand is quicker than the eye. Or watch this hand while this hand does its due, you know. And the people aren't seeing this, because the people are too preoccupied with the latest iPhones that are coming out, the latest Apple Watches, the latest televisions, the latest electric vehicles that are coming out. You know, they're too preoccupied in, what do they call that? Consumption of goods. The consumption of goods is keeping our eyes off of everything that these people are doing that are crooked. And then all we see is the end result. Just like, you know, we have this judge that did this to Schroyer. There's also a judge who had doctored up the Burisma files and is actually one of the judges seeing one of the Trump's indictments. You know, so we see a lot of corruption in every level of government, local, city, state, judicial, and even in the federal government. But because all these things are happening all at once and at all different places, it's hard for the people to focus on just one topic at hand. And this is, to me, a distraction.
It's very important, you know, to look at this, because it is a distraction in one sense, but in another, it's they're trying to show their authority. Okay, they're pushing this, and we need to hold fast to the Word of God. Okay, so but this is not only happening in the United States. Look at this next story. I think we talked about it last week, but there's more to it now. Like medieval times, Finnish politicians, so that's from Finland. We started with Schroer in America. Now this is Finland. Finnish politician prosecuted for biblical views reacts to crazy trial, issues warning. Okay, so this is the second trial for this this politician. Okay, it was absurd and it was crazy that I had to defend biblical truths, okay, and my interpretation of the Bible, my faith, and my beliefs in front of judges, okay. I'm not going to try to ruin her name, okay. This doctor, the prosecutor gave false statements about her writings and comments, claiming Rossanen had said that some people are inferior to others. Sometimes the politician said is patently untrue. Okay, so they're not only, this prosecutor she's saying is committing fraud. Okay, so this is something that we need to look at because it's happening worldwide. These judges around the globe are being paid off by whomever, okay? They're not judging according to law, And if, you want to write, you want to put Leviticus 18:22 up on social media, that's your right, okay? Okay, so go look it up. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, okay? Go look up Romans 1, the middle of the chapter to the end, and see what is said about the type of relationships that God thinks is okay. Okay, so we have what this section of the Sledgehammer Show is focusing on is the judges that are not judging according to law. They're judging according to their viewpoint, and that is not okay. Here in America, okay, we have the right of free speech that is being taken away. So what we, what God says happens to those people is, you're a kidnapper. And you see in Deuteronomy 24, verse 7, what God says to do to kidnappers. Okay, so we got Schroer from InfoWars. We got Dr. Rossanen of Finland. And we have another in the United Kingdom, in England. Look at this story of this disturbing judge. Profoundly disturbing. UK judge rules conscious 19-year-old can be taken off of life support against her will. She does not want to die. She's 19. Okay? And NHS Hospital is asking the court of protection to authorize the removal of life-saving medical treatment from a 19-year-old girl effectively condemned to her to death. Esty is suffering from a rare genetic mitochondrial disease similar to that of Charlie Gard, the baby whose life support was withdrawn as a result of a bitterly fought high-profile legal case in 2017. So what do you think we should do with these judges? I think we should invoke God's law. But we can't do that unless we are following God's law. Okay? You can't be eating a ham sandwich and say we need to get rid of these judges. You can't be, eating things that are not food. Okay? God says in Leviticus 11, what is food? God says in Leviticus 23. What are his holy days? So we got this judge signing the death warrant for this 19-year-old to be taken off of life support. That's not okay. We should do that to you, judge. We got the judge in the Schroyer case. You know, he wasn't saying kill anybody. He was saying he didn't believe in that this election was righteous. And it wasn't. You know, there's mountains of evidence. Oh, but you can't say that. Baloney. I can say that. You know, we have witnesses. We have evidence. Okay? And, you know, what should we do with the judges? What should we do with the judges? So, Ben, you have any last thoughts on what we should do with these judges?
Well, I mean, as it stands, and as you have stated, we really can't do anything because technically we're not following God's word. We're not one nation under God anymore. But if we do return to that state where we're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, then I would say make them pay. Because, you know, when you get a taste of absolute power, we know that absolute power corrupts absolutely, you know, and people are blinded because now they're like Lucifer in his heart when he said, I will make my seat on the highest mountain above God and be like God. And you know, his pride is what knocked him down. And, you know, it's Ecclesiastes that said, pride cometh before the fall. Right? Yeah. All right? They say, okay, it's in a couple of places. But if we return back to God and we return in keeping his law, his instructions for life, then I would say, yes, let's go back to the scriptures and have them pay the price for their corruption. Because when Hashem told Moses to pick out righteous men to be judges, you know, so that they could judge the smaller matters, to give Moshe a break, you know, he meant incorruptible guys, people who would not take a bribe, you know. But, you know, after Moshe died and the generations, you know, started multiplying and new judges started coming in, we started losing sight of what was right. And I that's where we're at. We need to get back to where we used to be, you know, if there is going to be a chance for humanity. If not, you know, we're just going to continue spiraling out of control till, you know, judgment day. And I feel really bad for all those who hear this message and don't take heed to the warning, you know, because it's coming. There's no doubt about that. You know, you may deny it in your heart, but the fact still remains that when Yeshua sets, you know, one foot on Mount Hermon,
Gerizim.
Gerizim, you know,
in the ball,
sets his throne to judge the nations. People are going to be, it's going to be too late to say, oh my gosh, I repent now. No, man, you should have repented while you were still alive, while you still had life, while the message was still fresh. And this message is still fresh for all of those who are listening to it. Take heed to the warning. Take heed, because it's going to come a time when there is not going to be a chance to go back.
Yeah, we have to look at this because, you know, for right now, you judges are safe. Because I'm going to bring up the reason that these judges don't have anything to worry about, except from those of us who believe in Messiah and keep Torah. Okay, look at this. This is from Barna. Uncommitted Christians are causing catastrophic decline in biblical worldview in America. Millions of uncommitted Christians are causing catastrophic decline in biblical worldview in America because they have been poorly discipled in their faith and often don't know how to pass on biblical values to their children. Research in a new book from veteran Christian researcher George Barna, and he's excellent, shows the studies examine the ability of parents to intentionally and strategically raise spiritual champions among the nation's children. According to the book, many, many Christians feel so ill-equipped in their ability as parents that they have been swept up in a growing trend of outsourcing their responsibilities. Look at this in the yellow here, people. This is why those judges have nothing to worry from most people. Just 2% of parents with children under the age of 13 were found to have a biblical worldview, while 94% had embraced syncretism, described in the hodgepodge mixture of competing and often conflicting worldviews. The book data shows that just 22% of parents of preteens in America are born-again Christians, and only 8% of them hold biblical worldview. So these, this judge that's dealing with Owen Schroyer, he's got nothing to worry about because look at that, 2% of parents. This comes from the crappy pastors that say you don't have to follow the law anymore. And you got America's rabbi, John Kahn, that twit. He says we need to go back to God, but he never says how. Okay? How do you get back to God? Pick up the Torah, the first five books. Pick up the whole Bible. Okay? You need the whole Bible. But you can't understand Revelation unless you understand the Torah. Okay? These judges have nothing to worry about because just 2% of parents, 2%! How did we get here? You failed, okay? If you train your child and they go out afterwards and get secular, you've done your job in training them up, okay? But if you're not training them up in how to keep kosher, celebrating Yom Teruah instead of Rosh Hashanah, okay? We need to really do our job. We need to do our job better because we're handing our children over to the devil. Okay? Not a Beth Goyim. We teach the law. First and foremost, we teach that Messiah has come, but he kept the law. He was a Torah observant person. He was God's son. He was, Messiah. He was perfect. Okay? But he kept the law. What did he tell, when he healed somebody? Do what the Torah of Moses says. Go to the rabbi and let him examine you. Okay? He said, keep the law. Now you got these idiots, these complete morons, these Christian pastors, worrying about the rapture. You're not going, okay? You're not going because, if you read the Gospel of Matthew, when the angels come, and they separate the wheat from the chaff. The first group goes where? It goes into the fire. Okay, so you're going to be raptured into the fire. That means hell. Okay, so these judges, you know, Sawyer's judge doesn't have to worry. And, you know, Sawyer, he's a nice kid. But he knows nothing about the Word of God. He doesn't keep the Shabbat. He doesn't keep kosher. You know, all these guys. You know, Stu Peters. It's hard to listen to him now because he's using so much profanity. But he, you know, we're Jesus Christ. But you're using profanity? You praise him with the same mouth that you curse? We're supposed to be separated. We're supposed to be a holy people. So, what do you think about this, Ben? With, you know, 2%, 2%. How did, you know, what do you have to say?
Well, it really shouldn't come as no surprise. You know, Yeshua said that this wouldn't happen unless there was a great,
great falling away.
A great falling away, you know, and this is, I believe, the beginning of that great falling away. I mean, if we take heed to that scripture and we read in Revelation when the plagues were being sent onto to earth and to humanity, and, you know, people were dying plague after plague and after plague and after storm and after trial and tribulation and plague. It says, doesn't say that people repented. It says that they failed to repent and they raised their fists at God in rebellion, blaming him for everything that was going on when we were still given the chance for teshuvah. You know, a lot of people get blinded by the darkness that falls upon them, you know, but it's always darkest before dawn. You know, before that first glimmer of light, you hit complete darkness, you know, where you can't see anything unless you have, in our times, a flashlight, in those times, a torch. You couldn't see anything. That's why, you know, if we look at first chapter of John, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, it goes on to say that he was the light, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overtake it. This is where we have to be. We have to shine God's light in this darkness, because his light will shine bright and cut through the night, and the night will not, cannot, and will never overtake it.
Yeah, we gotta do, you know, something. And, you know, Yeshua says that the problem is that we, you know, it's in Matthew 24, it talks about the love of many has grown cold. So you can't, if you are in love, you know, you talk about men, you know, they're in love or they're in lust, you know, they'll want to be with that girl, that woman, you know, all the time, you know, in the physical way. Do you want to be with God in a spiritual way? You know, just 2% of parents with children under the age of 13 were found to have a biblical worldview. Now, this is from Barna, and he does a thorough You know, he doesn't just do five people. He looked at a bunch of people to come up with this number. Okay, and 22% of parents of preteens in America are born-again Christians, and only 8% of them hold a biblical worldview. So when you come to this part here, when you come to, you know, this very nice young man of Jonathan Owen Schroyer, you know, he's got to go to jail. He may have to go to jail for 60 days because he tried to stop people. They have recorded evidence, but you have a judge who is fraudulent. But, you know, the Constitution, as we talked about last week, is only for a moral and religious people. It is wholeheartedly, you can't govern any other people, okay? So you can't have your First Amendment. You really can't have your First Amendment unless you have the first chapter of the Bible. You know, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Bereshit bara et hashamayim v'et ha'aretz. You can't have freedom without first following God. Okay? So, he's a nice young man. You know, InfoWars is good. You know, Alex Jones is right. Okay? He's right a lot of times, but, you know, we need to go back to the Torah. Then we win. Then we push the can down the road some more. Prophecy will happen. Okay? That is for sure. Prophecy will happen. But it doesn't have a date on it. It doesn't have to happen this week. But it looks very much like it's coming. Okay? So then we got this thing in Finland. Okay? Where the woman's on trial for quoting the Bible. Okay? On trial a second time. This wasn't the first time. This is a second time. Okay? And finally, to wrap up the show, you got a UK judge. A British judge. This girl is awake. She can talk. She's just got some problems. You know, physical problems, not mental problems. And the judge, you know, thinks that this okay. Ben, what's your last 2 shekels in 60 seconds or less?
Well, we can't deny that all this stuff is happening because we see it on a daily basis. The fact that many people ignore it is another story. It's another issue. But for those of us who notice what's going on, let's wake up. Let's teshuva. Let's come back to God. Let's come back to his Torah. Let's come back to his word. And let's continue to spread the message of salvation, the message of hope in a dry and desolate place. And that's, I believe, where humanity is at right now. And they're going to spiral a lot deeper and a lot further away from God if we don't take the initiative to do something now.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We need to get back to that. But it's not just getting back to it. We need to apply it in our lives. We need to fall in love with God. We need to have Him be the center of our lives, the Word being the center of our lives. And we didn't even get to what Israel was doing with their 15 Supreme Court justices. A bunch of I don't want to say religious, because I don't want you to think Chabad is right, because They make up stuff as they go along too. They're not following Torah. Okay? We need to get back to following Yeshua, our Messiah, in spirit and in truth. We need to walk like him, because it's not enough to say you know him. Satan knows Messiah, but I follow Yeshua. For Ben Jimenez and the Remnants Called the Sledgehammer Show, Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom, this is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to the Remnants Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. And click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnants Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture. Truly, the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend the day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean, and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into His eternal word. Not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of His kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to Him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with the reading of the new week's parasha. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.